Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
What is up? Bright and early here on WWL. I am Jeff Nowak. Charlie Long's over there. Just big yawn. He looks like he needs some coffee. Coleman behind the glass getting everything going. We're getting ready for day three of the draft, man. I'm excited.
Rock and roll.
This is fake energy, by the way. I have none.
It wasn't a yawn, by the way. I was laughing at Russell Westbrook trying to push P.J. Washington, the highlights of the Clippers-Mavericks game last night. It was a pretty funny one.
It's a good reason to laugh.
Yeah, no, it was because P.J. Washington was just smiling at him. I don't know.
We're here to talk about football, Charlie.
We got to move on from basketball.
Jeez.
We got to get to football. Sorry.
Anyway,
sorry.
Welcome back to Draft First Take. Jeff Nowak and Charlie Long, we're kicking off today's coverage of the Saints and NFL Draft. Saints fans, get out to Rouse's Market on Power Boulevard for all the live action of the draft, plus all pro analysis and exclusive interviews with the Saints draft picks. That'll be Steve Geller, Mike Haas, Mike D'Attelier, and the great Deuce McAllister. Charlie, day two of the draft. You know, we bet the over-unders at the end of yesterday's show. I put it at 1.5. I bet the under, you bet the over. I won because they made one pick. They traded up to do it. But
they did
made
make the
one
trade
pick.
Up. So,
yes.
You know, they made the trade up. It just wasn't in the third round. And we'll listen to the Dennis Allen audio later.
Yeah.
I don't think they were really super aggressive trying to even move into the third round. I think the price may have been a little bit too high.
You know, I hesitate to take DA necessarily at his word there because I don't think they would be honest. If they were, like, burning up the phone lines and they couldn't get anything done, they wouldn't tell us that. But I don't think they were – you know, aggressive is an interesting word. I think they called around. I think they did their due diligence is how I would put it. But I think they went into that draft, and, you know, D.A. talked about this. I think they went into that draft not keen on shipping out future assets, and I think that's the smart thing to do because, you know, this team has basically been pick poor since 2018. Since they made that trick with the trade to get Marcus Davenport in 2018, they've been behind the eight ball in terms of you're always pulling away from the future to make a move now. And the one thing I can say about this trade, they moved it from 45 to 41 to take Alabama's Kool-Aid McKinstry, the cornerback, dealing with a foot injury, which I think saw his stock slide a little bit because of that. So I think they got some good value. They went up four picks, nothing major, but they also didn't give up anything major. They traded one of their four fifths and a sixth rounder. I think it was 165 and 190 to make sure they got this guy. And, you know, you could say, hey, maybe you could have sat there, but you don't want to be in a situation where you're in love with a prospect, you really like him.
Go get him.
And you're going to sit there and risk losing him in the second round to save two picks that you're probably going to trade somewhere else anyway. So I thought it was a good move. I like the pick, and I appreciate the approach because it's what I've been pleading for over the last several years is, like, stop hamstringing yourself in the future because you're nervous about today.
Well, let's talk about Kool-Aid because cornerback wasn't a position that we talked about a lot, right? Entering round two, we talked about a couple different positions of need, like interior offensive line.
Yeah.
We talked about wide receiver. We talked about defensive line. We talked about different spots. We didn't really mention cornerback because that's been a position of strength for the Saints over the last few years. But at the same time, you can never, in the modern-day NFL, we say this all the time, you can never have enough receivers and you can never have enough cover corners, so especially elite guys. And there was a best player available pick. The value was the term that kept coming up when talking about Kool-Aid McKinstry at 41, because if you talk about him as maybe a fringe first-round prospect and he's there on day two, and you wanted to actually move up to secure him, you can imagine where he probably was on the Saints' big board.
Yeah, and I mean, you know, you're talking about a guy who he played all season. We don't exactly know when his injury occurred. He had a Jones fracture in his foot, and that was discovered at the combine. He ran a 4.47 with that injury, right? And you know, he didn't. I wouldn't say he had his best college season last year. He obviously, you know, he's always breaking up passes. He's a guy who's going to make an impact. But I do think that injury probably did affect him, even if he didn't realize it was there. You know, guys play through stuff all the time. They don't necessarily know, you know, okay, this is a serious thing that I need to get fixed. But, you know, I think when you kind of look at his season with that in mind, it makes you feel a little better about, okay, why did his stock slide a little bit? Well, he's dealing with this significant injury that should be fixed. Now, it's another guy, you know, you look at Kendre Miller last year, right? Like, the Saints have shown that they don't mind, as long as the medicals check out in other key areas, they're okay with drafting a guy who's dealing with an injury currently. They did the same thing with Kendre Miller last year. He was dealing with a knee injury. And that did, you know, that did affect his rookie season, right? It took him a while to get going in camp. You know, he dealt with a knee injury late in the preseason. I think he missed the first two games. He came back for week three. Kind of just dealt with injuries all season long. And you got to wonder if maybe that kind of stunted rookie offseason, you know, kind of led to some other things. You're compensating in one area and you get injuries somewhere. I don't know. That's something that happens. And, you know, hopefully that doesn't happen again. But it is kind of, you are courting chaos when you draft a guy who's actively dealing with an injury. So we'll have to see how that plays out.
Yeah, and once again, we'll listen to the DA audio later on in the show. But DA did mention that he's not sure about his availability.
He's not expected to be ready for OTAs.
Yes, exactly. But, you know, by June and post-June, he should be good to go.
I hate when he gives a timeline like that because it's just, you know, everyone's going to write it down. And then June's going to come, where is he?
Yeah,
he misses
true.
A day camp, everyone's going to freak out.
I mean, the fact that he's already kind of named a date means that he should be completely fine by training camp.
No, like they did their work here, right?
Absolutely.
You're not drafting a guy if you have serious
concerns
about his injury.
Especially with a second-round pick, like a premium pick.
And they went and got him. They wanted him.
Yeah, and they moved up. You know, so they moved, as you said, a fifth-round pick, a sixth-round pick, and their second-round pick to move up those four spots. And, you know, they went out and got him. And we talked with Ryan Fowler, the host of 100 or the game on 100.9 in Tuscaloosa, and he kind of talked a little bit about the foot injury with Kool-Aid McKinstry and how this wasn't, you know, his best season. But he was a three-year starter at Alabama in the secondary, coached by Nick Saban. Like, once again, y'all asked DA about that last night, about how well coached he was in college, because the secondary is kind of like was Nick Saban's baby when he was there at Alabama. So, yeah, I, you know, once again, we talked about it. We called it value. We called it best player available. I would be curious to see where he was on their big board, the fact that they were so willing to move from 45 to 41 to make sure that they got their guy.
Yeah, and you talk coming in, you know, okay, maybe cornerback wasn't a need. And I talked to Deuce about this on the show last night. You know, it's everyone's going to look at this and say and try to draw a direct line from Kool-Aid to Marshawn. And I don't necessarily think that this pick is about Marshawn. I think it's about Kool-Aid. Now, it could affect Marshawn down the road. It could be a factor in, hey, now we feel a little more comfortable making a move than maybe we did prior with the depth that we had. Because you can say, hey, we're set at this position, but every year, you're like, look, what would they have been without Ike Adam last year?
Yeah, he's gone now.
Right? He's not there. So, I mean, you can just kind of slot him into that role, or you can say Alante is in that role. And one thing that I did go into this draft saying was a need was slot corner. And DA said that Kool-Aid's going to work outside and in the slot. I do think Kool-Aid profiles well to the slot if they want to use him there. So maybe that's the answer. Maybe he becomes your dedicated slot corner down the road, and you figure something out on the outside. Paulson Adebo's going into a contract year, so it's anything but settled at the cornerback position. And I think, you know, out beyond quarterback, after quarterback, cornerback is that position that you're always willing to bypass the path to an immediate role as a starter to increase depth in that room, right? Like, it's like the Falcons did it with Michael Penix. We can talk about that all day long about whether it makes sense, but that's the idea, is like, yeah, he's not going to start right away, but you know you're going to need that guy down the road, or your boat's not going to get very far to begin with. So you're going to put people in it and let them be ready when you need them. And so I think that's kind of where that approach is. And it's the second time in 3 years we've seen him do it, because they did it with Alante Taylor in the second round in 2022.
Yeah, and Yadam's a great point, because you saw the kind of contributions that he made last year before he got moved, I believe, in the offseason to San Francisco, if I'm not mistaken, Jeff. So, I mean, he was great for the Saints as kind of like that fourth cornerback role. And DA specifically said, like, you need a fourth guy. You need a dog at the fourth guy, because if someone gets hurt, you're out of luck if you don't have anyone to replace him. So it's depth at the worst, but I think that Kool-Aid McKinstry, you know, once again, a guy that they're really, really high on, they have good plans for him.
Yeah, and the other thing that, you know, Darren Rizzi talked about this on the pre-draft show, and, you know, he was mentioning with the new kickoff rule, you're effectively having two returners back there.
Yeah.
And so, he expects teams to, and I know people are like, oh, they're just going to kick it out of the back of the end zone. I really don't think that's going to happen as often as you think it will. But, you know, he expects teams to play kind of keep away from these guys that are known as elite returners. So Rashid like Shaheed. You know, he's an all-pro return guy for a reason. Teams aren't going to just gladly kick in the ball, but they are going to still try to pin you. Because if you have the option to get the team within the 10-yard line, you're going to try to do it. But what happens when they kick it to the other guy? If you have an elite corner over there, then so you're either saying, hey, kick it to one of these two elite returners or give us the ball at the 30. And that's not a bad trade-off. But if you have somebody back there that everyone's like, oh, we'll kick it to that guy, you know, they will do that. So, you know, I think directional kicking is going to be a factor. And it's going to be a lot easier to directional kick because hang time doesn't matter anymore.
Yeah.
Literally, it makes no difference whether you get it there in a second or you get it there in 5 seconds because no one's running until he catches the ball anyway. So kickers are going to be able to kick it exactly where they want it to go.
Circling back around to Ryan Fowler's interview on WWL last night after the pick was Cooley McKinstry and he came on to talk about him and he raved about his character and stuff like that and a team leader and, once again, these words that keep coming up with these early on picks. But you were also talking about his special teams prowess and what he did as a returner. And Fowler kind of had a couple points about Kool-Aid as a returner that just this past year, like maybe he struggled a little bit with confidence issues as a returner, so he wasn't as good as he had been prior. And maybe the foot injury had a little bit to do with that. It wasn't that he was like necessarily muffing punts or muffing kicks or anything like that. He was having trouble fielding them at times, which is how Fowler kind of described it.
Position.
So, I mean, we'll see kind of what their plan is for him special teams-wise. I think that he could be a contributor, especially, once again, with the new kickoff rules. The one spot I'm not worried about with the Saints at all is special teams, Darren Rizzi in the new kickoff stuff. Like, he has a plan for how they're going to attack that because he was one of the ones spearheading the charge for the new kickoff rules. So, yeah, I mean, maybe, yeah, Kool-Aid could be involved in that. You know, a lot to see.
Well, and I think he's also going to be involved. I think he's going to be involved on both ends of special teams because that's why you want those kind of depth corners, too.
Yeah, I was talking about kind of returner, though.
Like, no, I understand, but you're also talking about a gunner on punts.
Yeah, of course, right.
You're talking about guys having to go out and make tackles in that special teams group. Like, we're all going to sit here and talk about the impact of that new kickoff from a return perspective, what your returners can do, but it's also going to be a huge factor of what teams cover well. Right, because that ability to cover is going to be just as important as that other guy's ability to return. Because the teams that have elite coverage units that can consistently pin guys inside the 20, because you're going to have that ability. That's important, and that's why why do teams tend to carry a couple extra defensive backs as opposed to an extra receiver, an extra running back? Well, when you get into those special teams units, those are the players that make up those coverage units. And who would you rather have? An extra wide receiver who hasn't tackled a guy since high school or a defensive back who literally makes his living running around and tackling guys?
Yeah.
So I do think that goes into the depth process. And I know people are going to sit there and say, oh, you spent a second-round pick on a special teamer. No, that's not what we're saying. We went through the same thing with Alante Taylor. But it is a factor that you're going to draft a guy. You're going to have him on the roster. He's taken up one of your 53 roster
spots. What's
the
plan for him?
And you do want a guy that you think can make an impact in year one, even if he's not able to get on the field as a starter. So you don't want to draft a guy who doesn't have a role to a starting or a path to a starting role immediately if you're also like, yeah, he's kind of meh on special teams. Like, having that, that's part of the game. Especially, and even more so now than it has been. So, I don't know. I like the pick. I know a lot of people, there's a lot of players on the board that people were excited about. You know, oh, maybe get a wide receiver. Although, we talked about this prior to it. There was a lot of wide receivers, but they went off fast.
Yeah, the first 7 picks of round 2 were either wide receivers or defensive tackles.
That's
so
crazy.
You know, you're looking at the best available. They started peeling off, like kind of like you mentioned. And then, also, later on, A.D. Mitchell was a really surprising drop in the draft. And
you got to wonder if there's red flags that came up in terms of the interviews and stuff.
Well, yes. Yeah. That's what people were kind of reporting on, was that maybe there were some character concerns and stuff like that. And Chris Ballard, the Colts GM, went on like a crazy rant about it. And he was just like, we got to stop, you know, digging these kids down or putting these kids down and stuff like that. He's a good kid and all that. If you haven't seen the rant, go check it out. It's kind of expletive laden, so we're obviously not going to play it. But he went on a pretty crazy rant about that. A.D. Mitchell falling to 52 to the Indianapolis Colts. I think the Colts actually even moved up to go get him.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that was Mike's 30th prospect on his big board. And he was there at 52. That's a great value pick
for
him.
Well, it kind of reminds me of Kayshawn last year. He went a little farther back. But it's like you don't see a talented player like that fall that far unless there's something that's scaring teams off. Right?
I love the comp that NFL.com had him of George Pickens. Because I mean, George Pickens maybe had a couple of character concerns as well.
That's
but true. He's worked out for the Steelers. We'll see if Mitchell works out for the Colts.
No doubt. Well, let us know what you think of the first round, second round Saints picks, Taliese Fuanga and Kool-Aid McKinstry on the Oakland Heart Jewelers. Talking text line 504-260-1870. I'm Jeff Nowak. He's Charlie Long. We're going to come back, talk more about the Saints picks. We're going to hear from NFL and draft analyst Brian Baldinger. He caught up with Saints media last night talking about the Saints draft picks. This is WWL.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time. Baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.